Good morning and welcome back to our Bible study here at Gainesville Bible Church, where thus far we've been examining the biblical account of the life and times of Jesus Messiah. Today we will continue our study where we left off last week in the Gospel of Luke chapter 1, where Zacharias, a righteous priest serving in the temple, has just been told by the angel Gabriel that he and his wife Elizabeth would have a son in their old age, and this son would be the forerunner for Messiah. Now, this sounded pretty incredible to Zach, so he questioned Gabriel's message and asked for some sign of validity. Gabriel answered his request for a sign by rendering Zach mute until the son was born. So today we re-enter the narrative as Zach heads home to tell, he has to find some other way to communicate this marvelous blessing to his wife, Elizabeth. So today we'll pick up in verse 23 of Luke chapter 1. When the days of his priestly service were ended, he went back home. After these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant, and she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying, "This is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace among men." Now back in verse 23, when the days of his priestly service were ended, he went back home. As we discussed earlier, Zacharias had only one opportunity to serve in the temple during his lifetime. So for 1 week in his life, Zach fulfilled his lifelong destiny to serve in the temple. Serve in the temple. Service to others seems to be the benchmark for Christianity. In Scripture, we find all of our biblical heroes of the faith demonstrating the singular quality of love for God and compassion for others in service toward others. During my studies on the campus at Dallas Theological Seminary, I always say I crammed a 4-year degree into 5 years. My favorite place to hang out between classes and to pray, to meditate, reflect upon God's word, was one of the benches on the far west side of the quad that surrounded a life-size statue of Jesus washing Peter's feet. Now, that image will be forever etched upon my mind as a reminder of my calling and my destiny as a pastor and as a member of the body of Christ, not to attain anything, but to serve others. We can find no greater fulfillment of God's design for our lives than when we're found serving Christ by serving others. And Zach was serving in the temple. Verse 24, after these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant, and she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying, "This is the way the Lord dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace among men." Now, verse 24 tells us that the pregnancy came after Gabriel's announcement. Gee, you mean God was true to his word? If you made a marginal note in your Bible every time God fulfilled one of his promises, you probably wouldn't be able to read the text of your Bible. There'd be so much ink spilled. Now, there's much speculation as to why Elizabeth sequestered herself for 5 months during the initial stages of her pregnancy. But since Scripture doesn't provide that detail, we must remember that any speculation as to the reason for her self-imposed seclusion is just that, it's speculation. Now, I make that point because we've all been subject to lengthy diatribes under the guise of biblical lessons and sermons that are actually quite removed from textual evidence. I once sat through a message given by a very respected and prominent pastor whose main point of his sermon was based on the idea that the 5 smooth stones David picked up to battle Goliath were in defense of Goliath's 4 brothers. This famous pastor went on to make the point that we as Christians need to arm ourselves in preparation for forces we cannot now see. We need to be aware of forces kin to the foe we are now facing. Now, the pastor was eloquent. His points were plain. They were easily understood. His thesis was relevant, beneficial. But nowhere in that text does it say why David picked up five stones. He forcibly distorted the text of Scripture to reach his conclusion. And no matter the good intent, the correctness of our conclusion, the end never justifies the means. Now, I'm 6 foot, 240-pound country boy, ex-Marine. I'm afraid of very little on this planet. But my very real fear, every time I say, "Thus saith the Lord," I want to make sure that's what he said. See, God says what he says, and he means what he means for a particular purpose. And when he reveals truth through Scripture, he's making a point. And we don't have the license to alter that point. That's his point. It's his text. Now, I've always been a seeker of truth. And real truth, concrete truth for me, is stated and validated through God's holy word. Often when I listen to someone else go on, I find myself saying, "Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and it makes sense, but I'm fallible, and so are you. But God is not, so let's see what God is saying." My theology, what I believe about God, is based entirely upon what God has revealed through Scripture. And the point God's making by giving us this information concerning the upcoming birth of John the Baptist is not why Elizabeth kept to herself for 5 months, but to contrast her reaction to the divine announcement with her husband's response. See, Zacharias reacted to the angelic announcement with unbelief. Oh yeah, righteous people can sin. Righteous people can waver in their belief. But that sin, that transgression, is not without consequence for the righteous. Zach's faith faltered, and it cost him. It didn't derail God's agenda one step, but it cost Zach. What glorious news he had to share. God had blessed his family, had shown his favor upon him and his wife in their old age, and he could tell no one. But now Elizabeth, well, you needn't wonder what Elizabeth's reaction to this wonderful news was, because we have it recorded in Scripture. In verse 25, she says, "This is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me, to take away my disgrace among men." See, Elizabeth's humility, it's demonstrated in the way she recognizes and yields to the grace of God. I grew up in a small southern town in rural Louisiana where there was a racial divide in our community. Now, my mother began teaching me Scripture while I was still in the womb. My father was a Baptist pastor, so we weren't part of that social segregation in either thought or action. But I did notice, even as a child, a cultural difference between the way white folks seemed to view life and the way black folks reacted to life circumstances. I remember sitting on the front porch of Grandma's house watching people walk up and down a sidewalk going to and from my Aunt Toto's store when I was a kid. Now, I guess someone had dropped some money on a sidewalk, because I noticed that several people would stop, reach down, pick something up, glance around to see if anybody was looking, and then hurriedly put it in their pocket and continue on down the street. Now, after two or three people followed the same routine, along came a rather large black woman who noticed something of value on that pavement, and reaching down, she picked up a dollar bill and raised her hands to the sky and shouted, well, you know what she shouted, "Thank you, Jesus." Now, this impressed me so much. Here I am some 50 years later, and I still remember that wonderful woman's response to the grace of God. You see, that was Elizabeth's response. She immediately recognized that her providence, this miracle, came from God. God has shown me favor. He's removed my barrenness. He's removed my disgrace in the community. You see, Hebrew women recognized that children were indeed a blessing from God, and that childbearing was a part of a woman's divine calling. And now, in keeping with God's perfect timing, Elizabeth would experience God's gracious favor and not only bear a son, but her son would be a mighty prophet of God, the forerunner to Messiah. And Elizabeth was quick to give praise and glory to where praise and glory was due. This is the way the Lord dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace among men. You see, Elizabeth didn't question the reality of God's provision. She accepted the circumstance in her life to be by virtue of the grace of God. My friend, how has God dealt with you? Has he provided grace for you? Do you remember the storybook characters of Winnie the Pooh? You know, the donkey Eeyore is always walking around complaining. His glass is always half empty. Poor, poor, pitiful me. Nobody loves me. I'm having no fun. I think I'll just go sit down over here and eat some worms. Now, Tigger lives in the same setting, shares the same friends, shares the same experience as Eeyore, but he's always bounding with excitement, uncontrollable joy. You see, God told Zacharias, I want to bless you. Zach said, I don't think so. No way. God blessed Elizabeth, and she said, thank you, Lord. Can I ask you again, how has the Lord dealt with you? Are you recognizing his blessing? Are you giving him praise for it? Let me ask you a question. Do you have a home in glory land that outshines the sun? Has he given you strength for today? Is your eternity fixed? Before we part this morning, I'd like to interrupt our study for a blatant commercial announcement. Now, I'd like to tell you a little bit about our church here at Gainesville Bible. As many of you know, our physical location is 601 North Radio Hill Road. We're adjacent to the radio station east of town atop Radio Hill. Gainesville Bible Church actually began as a Bible study, as a church plant sponsored by Denton Bible out of Denton, Texas, back in 92. And here at Gainesville Bible Church, we preach and teach the Bible exegetically. All of our sermons and studies are verse-by-verse expositions of individual books of the Bible. Our Sunday morning schedule begins with prayer at 9 a.m. That's followed by children's and adult Sunday school classes at 9:30. Then at 10:30, we gather in the sanctuary for corporate worship. And that corporate worship consists of songs of praise. We observe communion on the first Sunday of every month. And I bring a message during this hour from God's Word. Right now, we're studying the book of Genesis. Children's church is something that we offer during the message time also for kids in kindergarten to the fifth grade. Now, we meet back at the church on Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. for a more informal time of Bible study. Questions are asked and answered. It's much more informal. Many say that the Bible study at 7 p.m. is their favorite part of Sunday. Every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m., we meet for prayer here at the church. Oh, and on Sunday, child care is provided for all of our Sunday meetings. And we also engage here at the church in at least one fellowship event every month. Things like movie night, game night, parties, picnics. We enjoy doing things with each other. We do consider ourselves a family here. And I know it's a little early, but on November the 4th, we're inviting the community of Gainesville to join us for Church in the Park at Leonard Park by the zoo. I'll give you more information as that approaches. My office hours here at the church are Monday through Thursday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Feel free to stop by the office anytime. I'd love to meet you. You can also find out more information on our website at GainesvilleBibleChurch.com. Our email address is info@GainesvilleBibleChurch.com. So please give me a call. Drop me an email. Stop by and see me. I'm anxious to hear from you. And until next week, keep your eyes on Him.
All our pain and all our tears.